Al will be forever the myth.
You're the king of kings, Al.
There's always a pecking order. The little peckers never mess with the big peckers. So I'm a rooster, and he's a chicken.
This episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast is brought to you by our sponsors, Old School Labs and Florida Alternative Medicine. All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, where we talk to the legends of bodybuilding, and we also talk about the history of bodybuilding. And I'm your host, John Hansen. And on today's show, we finally have our second part of our interview with Samir Banute, and we split that into two parts, actually. So today we're going to talk to Samir about the 1982 and 1983 Mr. Olympia contest. This was the first time that Samir actually got into really great peak condition. Up until that point, he was one of these guys that had incredible potential, and I think everybody was of the same opinion that Samir could be Mr. Olympia. He could go all the way to the top if he just got cut up. He was always off, even when he turned pro at the 1979 Mr. Universe in Columbus, Ohio. He beat Ron Tufel, but he was a little bit off, and Ron Tufel was in great shape. So that was a little somewhat controversial, but I thought Samir was the rightful winner. But once he turned pro, he just couldn't seem to nail his conditioning, and he couldn't get really shredded. So finally, in 1982 and in 1983, he really reached peak condition. And in 1983, of course, he won the Mr. Olympia. So in our interview today, we are going to talk to Samir about those two competitions primarily. And then next week, when we conclude our interview with Samir, we will talk about the rest of his career, including kind of controversial 1984 Mr. Olympia, where he only took sixth place. And that was the contest where Lee Haney finally won his first Mr. Olympia. All right, so before we get to that, I do want to mention that we are brought to you by our sponsor, Old School Labs, and I've been with Old School Labs for several years now. This is the supplement company that draws on the wisdom of the golden era of fitness and bodybuilding to offer unique supplements for the discerning athlete. Old School Labs is the only brand that I use, trust, and associate my name with. It's the brand I used to win the Natural Mr. Universe contest back in 2012. You may have heard of their award-winning fat burner, Vintage Burn, which is the world's first muscle-preserving fat burner, or Vintage Blast, which is their two-stage pre-workout, or Vintage Brawn, which is the triple protein isolate powerhouse. It's packed with eggs, milk, and beef protein. Their products have no proprietary blends, no artificial flavors, colors, or sweeteners. Old School Labs is also the home of 1983 Mr. Olympia, Samir Banute, who we are talking to today, and bodybuilding legend Tom Platz. So use the discount code LEGENDS12 and you will get 12% off your order when you go to oldschoollabs.com. Old School Labs, supplements that make sense. And we're also going to read another article today, and this one comes from another one of these old Iron Man issues that I have. This is from the July 1984 issue, and of course it's about Samir. And it's called A Day with Mr. Olympia, and it's written by our friend Gary Bartlett, who we've had on the show before. And it's really an excellent article about Gary's spending the day with Samir the day after he won the 1983 Mr. Olympia, which was in Munich, Germany. So that will be interesting. And I'm going to read that, as I said, right after our interview concludes. All right. So that is it. What else is going on with you guys? I'm having my big hernia surgery. I've been preparing for this for months, and we're finally doing it this week on Thursday, the 15th of August. So I will be out of commission, or out of the gym at least for a while. I think he said I cannot go to the gym for like 4 weeks, which is going to be very unusual for me because I consistently hit the gym four times a week every week. Even when I do my MP6 power cycle and my mass cycle, in between that, I always do a deload cycle where I go really light, but I never really take off. So very rarely, unless I'm sick, do I miss a week from training. So to take off 4 weeks is going to be really probably pretty tough mentally just to stay out of the gym, but I guess my body will need the rest and hopefully I won't shrink up too much. I'm right now about 230, which is the biggest I've been in years, and really strong and thick, some fat on me for sure, but I'm really enjoying the training. So it's going to be kind of a bummer missing out on working out, but hopefully the surgery will go well and they'll be able to finally fix this hernia that I've had for probably about 7 years now. And supposedly got a good surgeon at the place I work and the hospital that I work at. So should do a really good job, and I'm looking forward to getting it over with and getting the recovery in, and so I can get back to the gym and get this thing fixed. But other than that, the Mr. Olympia is coming up soon. It's less than 5 weeks away now, and every week it seems like there's new stories about it. Sean Roden, who has been accused of rape, he got kicked out of the Mr. Olympia by AMI. AMI is not going to let him compete, and I don't know when this thing is going to go to trial, but Sean is in busy. He is training hard. He's dieting. He's training hard at Gold's Gym. There's been videos of him up on YouTube. So just in case something happens where he can compete, I guess he wants to be ready. So that's pretty unusual. And it looks like Phil Heath might be entering. I didn't think Phil Heath was going to go in it. If you heard our interview with Sean Ray a few weeks ago, I asked Sean the chances of Phil Heath going in it or Kai Green going in it, and he said he didn't think either one of those guys was going to compete. And, of course, Sean Roden, he didn't think was going to compete either because of all the trouble he's going through now, all these accusations. But it looks like Phil Heath might jump in. He looks in great shape. He's really getting ripped up. He's doing cardio. So, God, I think first prize is $400,000, almost $500,000. So he'd be crazy not to. And if he wins it, which he has to be the favorite if he does enter it because he's beaten all these guys that are going to be competing this year, then Phil will be, I believe, this will be win number 8. So he will tie the record, which was set by Lee Haney and then matched by Ronnie Coleman. And so Phil would have 8 Mr. Olympia wins. So we will see what happens. I don't know. We probably won't know until the day of the contest or until the press conference, which will take place on Thursday. And I also heard that they're letting Cedric McMillan enter the show, like as a special invite, because Cedric was not able to qualify this summer by winning a contest because he had duties with his military training. So because of that, they're making an exception to Cedric and they're letting him compete, which is great news for me. I love Cedric's physique. I just wish he would really pull it together at the Olympia, but he always seems to be a little bit off at the Olympia. He's never even made the top 6. I think the best he's ever done is 7th place. The Arnold, of course, he always usually places really high. He's a little bit off at the Arnold this year too. And as we talked to Sean a couple weeks ago, Cedric's career is getting a little old now, and he's getting older, so I don't know if he'll ever be able to pull it together and really realize his potential, which is a shame. So we'll see what happens. And then, of course, we got Dexter Jackson, who's just coming off that pro win at the Tampa Pro last week, and Brandon Curry, who won the Arnold Classic this year and looks really, really good and has been in Kuwait training in isolation. So he's looking really good, and I think he's got a great shot at winning it. And then Raleigh Winkler, who was 3rd place last year, and he's the People's Champion. They had an award last year for the People's Champ, and Raleigh won that. And he's looking really, really good. He's looking really freaky. So it should be interesting. I will be out there for Old School Labs covering the show, and I'm going to be writing an article for them right after the contest. So that'll be up probably the day after the show. So I'll let you guys know where that appears. It should be, I guess, on their website, oldschoollabs.com, unless they're going to put it somewhere else. And next week, we're supposed to be interviewing the legend himself, Albert Beckles. Albert, I guess, is a fan of the show, which is great to hear. And he agreed to do an interview. So I'm really excited about doing that. So it'll be a few days after my surgery, but it should be okay. So that we'll be interviewing Albert next week. And then we'll try to get his interview up there, too. And, of course, I've been promising you guys a 2nd anniversary show where we could look back at some of the clips from the last year of our 2nd year on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. But, again, work is taking over, and I just haven't had the time. But next week I'll be off for, like, 6 days because of my surgery. So maybe that'll be a good time to sit on my laptop and work on that, and I should be able to get those shows done for you guys. Hopefully. Keep your fingers crossed on that. All right, and our interview last week with Gary Leonard was really well received. I got quite a few comments on Facebook, so I'm going to read some of those. This is on my Facebook page. If you guys want to email me ever about any shows that we do or you have any comments about anything, just email me at naturalolympia@gmail.com, and I will read your emails on the air. But the one we did with Gary Leonard, Tony Gray said, Gary Leonard looked awesome at the 1980 Mr. America. I still have that Gordon Wong Muscle Digest from 1980 with Gary on the cover. Jerry Scalise said, you don't see that arm development with the buys and tries separation anymore. Rich Fitter said, I'm really looking forward to listening to this one. Sean Corrigan said, I miss that healthy look. Patrick Neve said, great bodybuilder. Steve Davis said, he trained like an animal. A 100-mile mountain biking for definition. And in our interview, Gary talked about rowing a boat for like a long way. So I guess Gary was a really good athlete. Glenn Kinnear, my friend, said, awesome champ. Joe Means said, great physique. Sean Ray said he was a stud. Mike Christian said, he's still one of my heroes. And Gary Leonard said, oh, Mike, thanks, buddy. You just made my century. And then Gary himself responded, and he said, thank you for all this. I've been blessed, and I'm still trying to figure out why. God bless you all. And Jim Seitzer said, I was there that day in the light heavyweight class. Sometimes the best man that day does win. Gary deserved it, and he won convincingly. And I'm hoping to have Jim Seitzer on the show, too. He was a great physique, if you're not familiar with his name. Great physique back in the 1970s, 1980s, and had a real powerful-looking physique. And he always placed high in a lot of the AAU shows. I think he got second in the 79 Mr. America to Ron Tufel. And I guess it was very, very close. And this last week was Franco Colombo's birthday. Franco is now 78 years old, if you can believe it. Unbelievable. Arnold just turned 72. Franco is 78. And I believe Frank Zane is 77 this year. So all our legends are getting older. So happy birthday to Franco. He's still healthy. So we're happy to hear that. I would love to interview Franco one day on this podcast also one day. I did get a couple emails as well. Louis Piccone said, hello, John. I enjoy listening to your podcast, especially the Skype interviews where photos and clips of the bodybuilders are inserted, a task which I appreciate would be very time consuming. I look forward to each episode with as much enthusiasm and anticipation as when I first started training back in 1982 at age 14. And buying that current month's bodybuilding magazine. The first magazine I bought, but not the first bodybuilding magazine I'd read, was Muscle Mag with Albert Beckles on the cover, as well as the smaller pictures of Mike Mentzer and Ken Passarello with the Kiss makeup on. I followed the competitive side of bodybuilding right up until Ronnie Coleman's first Mr. Olympia victory in 1998. I've been training on the heavy duty system since about 1988. I am natural and I've never competed. Genetically, at 6'5", I don't think I would have been able to do well on stage, but nonetheless, I still managed to improve and enjoy myself. A bit of hard work can do wonders for one's body, mind, and soul. The internet has rekindled my passion for the sport's early history, which I believe was a little purer and involved fine men, which one could look up to and admire. Also, as your legend show does, a voice is given to these photos that I grew up with, and some insight is revealed into their personality. I was not overly impressed with some of the interviews of the really big stars. That's not your fault. I felt they held back a bit, possibly for commercial reasons, for fear of offending. On the flip side, I was surprisingly impressed and entertained with full respect by some of the lesser-known bodybuilders, such as Phil Williams, Larry Jackson, and Tom Terwilliger. Commentary by Wayne Galash, Stan Morey, and Jerry Branham was also very good. Of the really iconic bodybuilders, I enjoyed Don Haworth, John Brown, Mike Katz, Roger Walker, Roy Callender, and the Mike Quinn interviews, and by far the best was listening to Boyer Coe. Apart from his longevity in the Iron Game, he appears sincere and frank when he recalls events and tales from his experiences while delivering passionately and without arrogance. Keep up the good work, John. I hope you can get some Australians on the show, my home place. Maybe get John Torelli back. I've spoken to him many times, many years ago, and I felt he held back last time, and he's got a lot more to offer. I'm not sure who else to try. Look up Graham Lansfield, another great amateur bodybuilder, for some interesting commentary by Vince Basile, former Canadian bodybuilder and Australian gym owner, who's met Arnold, Sergio, Ray Mentzer, and many more. All right. Thank you for that long email, Lewis. That was really good. I agree with you on a lot of those subjects you said, so that was really good. Thanks. I also got another email from DD Cunningham, and she said, hello, John. I just wanted to thank you for the podcast with Vic Downs. He used to be the pro at the small gym that I was in the private Snooker Canada Club in the 1980s in Toronto. I knew him from there. Everyone loved him, even those who didn't use the gym. His name still comes up amongst us from time to time, and I was thrilled to hear him on the podcast and see that he's still thriving. If you have contact with him, tell him he's remembered and that I said hello. I was only a young thing back then. The club was around when I was like 18 to 26. I just mentioned Vic again today when I was talking with someone else who won the World Muscle Model in 2012. It made me look Vic up again, and I saw the program. If he has an email he doesn't mind giving out, I will say hello in my own note. Thanks again. Pleasure to hear your show. And I did connect DD with Vic. I sent Vic the email, and I guess he's doing well because they did connect, and they were able to talk to each other, which was great. So thank you for that email, DD. And Chris Rasney said, John, I really enjoyed the Gary Leonard interview, and I particularly enjoyed the Scott Barron article about meeting Arnold. Did that originally run in Muscle Mag? If so, I remember reading that when it came out. Keep up all the great work and all the best for a speedy recovery from your surgery. Chris Rasney. Thank you, Chris. Yeah, that was in Muscle Mag, Chris. That was in, I believe, 1994. I'm not really sure of the month. But yeah, if you haven't heard that interview, or I'm sorry, the article that we ran last week with Scott Barron, check that out on last week's show. I read it right after the Gary Leonard interview, and it was all about Scott going to visit with Arnold, that a trip that he won at the Arnold Classic. So that was really, really a cool, cool experience. And Scott is really lucky that he got to experience that with the legend himself, Arnold Schwarzenegger. He got to go on the movie set, and he got to work out with Arnold. He got to eat with Arnold at Arnold's restaurant, Shotzi on Main. So that was really, really cool. All right, so that's all I got, guys. Before we get to our interview with Samir Benoot, I want to also mention that we are brought to you by our other sponsor, Florida Alternative Medicine, where age is just a number. If you want to feel great, optimize your energy levels, burn fat, and balance your hormone levels to maximize your potential, then go see the experts at Florida Alternative Medicine and Weight Loss. They have a certified and knowledgeable staff that will work with you to achieve your goals and get you the results you've been looking for. Our wide range of services ensure that you will not only look and feel amazing, but also feel comfortable knowing that they're there for you every step of the way. Their competitive pricing, along with their quality products and services, are just a few reasons to give them a call. So call them at their office number in Tampa, Florida, 813-922-8939, or you can reach them at their website, flalternativemeds.com. Again, that's FL for Florida, alternativemeds.com, or their number again, 813-922-8939. Just mention that you heard their ad on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, and they will give you a free consultation, plus they will give you 20% off your order. All right, so that is it. Let's hear our interview now with Samir Benoot. We've been waiting for this for years. I think our first interview with Samir was back in 2015. So in this interview, part two of our interview with Samir, we're going to talk about the 1982 and the 1983 Mr. Olympia contest. Here we go. All right, welcome back to the Bodybuilding Legends show. And we have Samir Benoot back for part two of our interview. So Samir, how you doing?
I'm doing good. It's about time. It's
only I know. Like 2 weeks. I think it's been 4 years since we did our first interview.
My Skype was down, and you know, traveled a little bit here and there. You've been busy. I'm busy. You know.
So right. Right.
I'm on.
Okay. All right, Samir. Well, let's start with 1982, buddy. The last time we talked about how you got involved in bodybuilding in Lebanon, and how you came over to the United States and competed against Lou Ferrigno in 1974. And then you came over to the United States. You were in Detroit at first, and then you came to California. And, you know, you won the Mr. Universe. You won the Mr. Right. Universe against Ron Tufo, and then competed in the Olympia in 1980 and 81. So let's start with 1982. Now, 1982 was the year when you really got into great shape. That was the year that you really brought it together. So tell me about that year. Like, what did you do differently with your training and your diet to dial it in and come in so ripped?
This may sound a little bit funny, but, you know, like everyone says, you know, life is about trial and error. And you know, I actually was trying too hard. That mm-hmm. was the truth. You know, when you overtrain, it's like you don't recover the same. I mean, we go back to the word more is less. And I was doing a lot more. because I am more than fanatical. I am insane about the game. And I was really trying very hard. Some people accuse me of not trying or like eating too much. It was completely the opposite. I wasn't eating enough. I was overtraining. You know, normally if you put 100%, that should be enough. The only thing is I was putting 500%. You know, I was crossing the line quite a bit.
Yeah.
Like, when you become more knowledgeable and you find out exactly what went wrong and you realize that, you know, your adrenal get tired. You train too much. When your body starts releasing all these weird mineral cortisol, your aldosterone goes up. You know, it's really your hormonal balance is very important.
Mm-hmm.
That's why God made night and day. You sleep good at night. You recover. You train. You eat. You don't overtrain and undereat. So that was probably the main difference. So I really put it together properly. And thank God I've really I learned a lot from my mistakes.
Yeah.
And so I just think a little bit more intelligently and good enough. It was what I just said. So my adrenal was way overworked. And that's what I tell my client now. They come to me, I'm training, I'm doing. I'm like, I look at them and say, you've been doing all that. And I didn't want you to do this much. I want you to do a little less. I want you to train hard and think about recuperation. Recovery is a major part of the game. So this is basically what I've done different is I train extra hard. I ate a little bit more. I removed some stuff that I was doing that wasn't really necessary, you know, made the proper adjustments.
Yeah.
And it really worked well for 82. And I felt that could have been, you know, and I was in the winner's circle, even though many felt I could have done better. And for me, it was a big joy. In fact, I know I was being compared to Dane and Dickerson and Vietor, and I know I'm up there. So I figured it out. I know going forward, this is going to get better. It's not going to get worse.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the difference between 80, which is, as I mentioned earlier, in the 80 Olympia, I way overtrained.
Yeah.
On my body, you know. It's a kind of complicated topic, but maybe as we move forward, I could explain to you some of the things that went wrong. So, you know, live and learn.
Yeah. So did you change your diet at all, Samir? Did you do things differently with your diet?
Well, you know, again, I have to compare this to a basketball team. You have too many good players, that not necessarily you're going to win. You need to create balance.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line, need to create balance. You have so many players, good player, it doesn't mean you're going to do great. You have to have the proper balance, and that's how you win the NBA championship, for example. So, yes, I made some changes, which is I cut down on any central nervous stimulant. Even my caffeine went way down. I slept a little more. I didn't really even, you know what, watching my sodium way too early, that was against me. My body functioned better with sodium.
Yeah.
And really, out there, if you're training hard, don't be afraid of having some good sodium. Sodium is an important mineral. So that was one of the reasons also that I was so cautious cutting my sodium way too early. You know, it's like, again, that adjustment I made worked really well. That's basically what it was. Fluid electrolyte management, recovery, calming my adrenal down and stuff like that. And it worked.
Yeah. I remember seeing a picture of you in Muscle Mag International. I think it was right after the 82 Olympia, and you were like this with your arms out, and you go, "I didn't know it was the fucking sodium all the time."
Actually, it was lack of sodium.
Lack of sodium, okay.
Sodium causes that to happen because, you know, you have sodium-related fluid, you have hormonal-related fluid. The hormonal-related fluid is much worse than you think. It's not like cutting your sodium. It makes it worse.
Mm-hmm.
When you cut your sodium and simultaneously you have that same issue with adrenal, it's hormonal-related fluid. So that actually makes it much worse. A little sodium actually lower aldosterone, which is another thing, we don't want to confuse the kids out there, but the bottom line is don't abuse your body.
Yeah.
And I tell people, I am against doing tons of cardio. I didn't do cardio for 82 or the 83, nothing.
Wow.
That cardio is bad. But yeah, sitting on a bike for like 1 hour a day is stupid.
Yeah.
But is it good for your heart? Yeah. But are you going to win contests? Yeah, if you're eating 10,000 calories, go ahead, sit 1 hour on the bike.
Right.
Anyway, and so I was really, there's no need for me to do cardio. Anyway, let's move to the next question.
So as the show's getting closer, Samir, could you see that you were like in phenomenal shape and this was going to be the best you ever looked?
I knew that before the 82 Olympia, right about a few months before, I found out exactly what it was.
Jim Mannion, he saw me in London. I'm like, I don't know if you've seen that picture of Muscle Man. I showed Jim them, yeah. I was big. In fact, Dennis Pepino, rest in peace, when I arrived to LAX, and Dennis looked at me and goes, your face is in trouble. They left me more dangerous with that face. Rest in peace. And, you know, as you see, me and Dennis were hanging out back in the backstage. So I always get along with Dennis. Wonderful.
Yeah.
He was a wonderful man. And so, yeah, I laughed my ass off and Dennis saw me in my paper.
Yeah, right.
Using my clothes. When you look like that, Samir, I worry about you.
Right. What did you weigh, Samir, for that show?
That's a good reason, yeah.
What did you weigh in 1982?
I believe stage time about 186.
Wow, that's crazy. 186.
86.
Yeah.
I recall when I got to the hotel, I decided to take a sauna. And then I go down to the sauna and I see Frank and Christine coming out of the sauna. And Frank looked at me and said, Samir. Frank looked at me and said, wow. You know.
Yeah.
I'm one of those guys to watch for.
Yeah.
I had a conversation with Frank Zane about 10 days ago. We had like an hour and a half conversation.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know, when you're passionate about the game, you don't really skip a beat. You remember all these, you know, it was just so nice. Who is one of your heroes become like a guy you're competing against?
It's, yeah.
Amazing. So.
Yeah. So the show was wide open that year, Samir. They had, Chris Dickerson ended up winning it, and Frank was second, and then Casey Viator was third, and you were fourth. So, how did you feel going into prejudging, you know, being in the shape that you were in? You had to know that you were one of the top guys, right?
I'm ripped. I'm not afraid.
Yeah.
Once I'm ripped, I know I can throw. I have no doubt. I know how to aim and shoot. That's what I do. I aim and shoot. I control myself more. And you know, when I'm not 100%, you can see it on my face. You know, it's not like I'm afraid, but I know I'm not 100%.
Yeah.
But that day, I was tight, ready, and honestly, I was surprised that I came in for it. I thought easily in the top three.
Yeah.
And after. The big audiences, everybody came to listen to me. Oh my God. Easily first or second. They would tell me first or second.
People, yeah.
You know, and Peter McGall was there. And Peter, you know, Peter is also another guy. He's pretty obnoxious back then. He will tell you, he's not afraid. And Peter thought I was robbed. And you know what? Honestly, to me, it was just an incredible experience. And being next to Chris Dickerson, Frank Payne, and battling with them, Casey. To me, it still was a victory. Really, anyone could have been in the top. You could have won. You know, yeah. Frank was a little off that year. I think he had an accident, and he wasn't 100%. But still, look, Frank never really looked bad on stage. But I see him a lot harder.
Yeah.
So that year, twice I did. And, but, you know, still looked unreal.
Yeah.
Casey. Able to live off 2%. He was good.
Yeah.
But you, bodybuilding, sometimes they look great, but even greater is not good enough.
Right.
And then you chart And honestly, Dickerson looks good. Dickerson was tested. You know what? I think after all these years, I figured out that Bill Pearl is a very intelligent man, and he's a man of wisdom, because I think Bill Pearl listens to nature. And he is a man who does everything with nature. Wake up early, like 5 in the morning, he's working out.
Yeah.
He goes to bed early. And a lot of people don't understand how important it is to sleep early, and the recovery part is so important.
Yeah.
If you look at Dickerson's skin, he likes to wrap onion cat. And if you look at someone like Kate and I, a little party hanging out, a little while, you know, it really, these things are relevant.
Yeah.
So, I'm like, actually, on and on.
So, right after that show, they had a Grand Prix show in Sweden, right? And you got second to McAway.
Yeah.
So, McAway was seventh. He was seventh at the Olympia. Were you surprised that he won?
I kind of went slightly backward. He went physical. Even McAway didn't know his body good enough that year, because in London he was in seventh place.
Yeah.
He could have been fifth.
Yeah.
He should have been the winner circle, but he was flat. He was cut but small. But in Sweden, he was like 10 pounds, but you know what? Onion shredded.
Yeah.
He was believable, and that's the truth.
So he got better, and from London to Sweden, he got a lot better.
Way better. I mean, he was like light years better compared to the photo. You won't believe it.
Yeah,
it's very people don't understand how can the body change. You know, to the average Joe, bodybuilding is complicated. You know, because you know, you store a muscle and stuff. And when that depleted, you don't look as bubbly. You don't like, the muscles don't bounce. Okay? Yeah. They don't pop.
Yeah.
So, pop that perfectly at Sweden.com.
Yeah, I remember seeing a video of that Grand Prix, and you were happy. You were happy that McAway won.
I'm happy, man. You know what? I've never felt a loser, man. I lose, so what's the big deal? But, anyway, it's another topic. You know, I felt I got cheated, but you know, it is what it is. But you know, the truth must be told. It was unbelievable. He like kicked ass in Sweden and Stockholm.
Yeah.
And McAway is really a master in showing it. McAway won't show weakness. He won't.
Mm-hmm.
Although he is perfect all around, I don't know, there's nobody, but he knows. Had to show his strength every time.
Yeah.
And this a lot.
Yep.
He definitely was unbelievable in Sweden. Not as unbelievable in Sweden, I mean in England. And can you imagine just 5-6 days apart?
Yeah.
He was, I think, 8 pounds lighter in Wembley.
Wow, really?
Yeah, that additional weight and what muscles. Muscles completely full. Yeah.
Wow. Unbelievable. So, you know, you go back to 1982, and it was different back then because we didn't have digital photos, right? So you didn't really see the photos in the magazines for months later. So when you finally saw the pictures from the 82 Olympia in the magazines, what did you think? I mean, did you think, wow, I can win this thing in 83?
I felt, you know, would be justifiable if I was in the top three easily.
Yeah.
And I think first and second would have been my place, to be truthful.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you know, it would be, a lot of people actually, they thought Casey and I first and second.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the, I'm just saying it, to be truthful also, with all due respect, Dickerson is very charismatic, and he controls the stage. But if you look at body part by body part, some of Chris's weakness are my strengths.
Yeah.
But also, be so confident, so masterful, tight in the skin, really, like my rap. and showed it was confidence. And, you know, I mean, Chris and I match in the back. Maybe I have a slight edge in the back, in the arms. And now in Cavs, nobody can beat Chris. Not even Dorian.
Right.
His back kick was beautiful. And he was on the roll. He had more seniority and I was winning. And, you know, I'm, you know, whatever. But it was, to me, it was anyway, Chris and Casey and myself, because honestly, Frank was slightly off.
Yeah.
So, anyway, when I saw the magazine, you know, I felt, you know, I didn't really care about 82 back, you know, back then. I knew he would be where I'm going to attack again.
Yeah, so going into 83 then, you felt like this could be your year, right? You were really confident.
Yeah, in 83 I came back, I trained and I ate and I dreamt about it. I just said, you know what, that got a lot of friends that go over the world. I just went on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I just went, me, itself, and I, all three of us, going to get crazy, train and eat and sleep. You know what? The more television you put into it, the better the outcome, because, you know, this is you can't look okay or good. Good is never good enough.
Yeah.
So I was lucky, fortunate, that I have a trainer partner who was a runner named Erwin Fuller.
Yeah.
He was like a pit bull. And he was training like a madman, aggressive. And you know what? Believe me, I put him through hell because I was more insane than you can imagine. I didn't even need a captain because this is where.
Right.
Hey, I was ready. I ate like perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. I was like, I mean, yeah, a little bit more than a month in Germany, in unit. And then I was. When I went to Germany, I was in shape.
Yeah.
And then you have to go beyond the shape. And yeah, I recall before I went to Germany, Mike Mentor suggested, rest peace, Mike's there, let's go this place in Orange County. It's a body research accounting where, you know, we analyze lean mass or body fat. And Mike looked at me, he said, Samir, I can tell from X. You shredded.
From your neck.
I was cut, but, you know, you weren't really short on me. But Mike knew it. He said, that's why I said, I'll go. And God's my witness, I measure underwater weight 2.2. And that's...
Wow.
Before the Olympia, yeah. 2.2. Yeah, so, but, you know, it's not only the way to go. So you can win competition. 5%.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, I was ready. I had a schedule, and then some. You know, I'm pretty sure I was right at 2% when I won 83.
So, you went out to Germany early, right? Didn't you go out there a couple weeks early? I remember reading.
Not that. Talking about that. For about 5 weeks or so in Germany, I had
5 weeks.
Talking to a German gentleman, freak, Erwin Müller, who was right, he was like a rocket. He was my trainer partner in Munich, Germany.
Okay.
So I relocated. I left Santa Monica and went to Germany just like on the full tunnel vision.
Yeah.
If we had fought, I left. I wouldn't even bother my phone. I think that's it. I'm like, boom. Didn't want to bother with anything. This is only my time is assigned for Mr. Olympia.
Yeah, yeah.
So, it was good.
Now, earlier in the year, you guest posed at the Night of the Champions, right? Didn't you and McAway guest pose at the Night of the Champions?
No.
Oh, no?
Not that.
Okay.
I actually guest posed... A few days before I left, I was in, I think, Fresno. Paul Love, he had a show in Fresno. I guess Paul was Bobby Robinson and Lee Haney. And I don't know, he has like several guests over. Uh-huh. And then I left to Germany.
Okay.
Now that I didn't do anything with neither champion, no.
Oh, okay. So I was just reading this old Iron Man magazine, right? And Gary Bartlett wrote it, and it was about the 83 Olympia. And he said, Gary said that he was having lunch with John Balik and Mike Nevue. And he said, John Balik just came back from the room, and he was taking pictures of you, and he was talking about you. And he goes, man, Samir looks unbelievable. He said, he's so cut. He goes, you could put your fingers in his legs, you know?
I remember. This is how it happened. Joe Wheeler had called me several times, and I had the recording on my voicemail. You know how back then you recorded? That man, what the hell are you? This is Joe. Joe Wheeler was to take pictures. That was in Germany. But then I heard my messages, and then Joe came in. Joe in the hotel was the Olympia headquarters, so I went to Joe. And I have my aluminum briefcase. Then Joe sent me and said, come on up. I want to see how you look at him. I went up. And Joe, like, Joey, Betty was there, like, oh my God. And he goes, Betty, oh my God, this guy works so hard. I said, Joe, you see this aluminum case? It's different than yours. Yours would be full of $100. Mine is full of potato energy. And he goes, Betty, you see how hard Samir worked? I said, yeah, I know. And Betty did really good complimentary stuff about myself and Arnold.
Mm-hmm.
Joe was panicking. He said, please call umpire Mike, not you, everybody. Let's call photographer for Samir now. So John Betty was the first. And then John said, Samir, I kill you. Yeah, I was ready.
Okay. Yeah. I think Gary said that they had a buffet at the contest, and this was before the contest. And he said you loaded your plate up, and they all freaked out, and they said, "We got to stop him from eating all that. He's going to blow his condition."
Condition? No. See, now I was in control, 82 and 83. I was in total control.
Okay.
And, you know, as you know, life is a potluck. So. We have so many people nowadays, they're doing it the wrong way.
Yeah.
They're so full of shit gurus. They think they are gurus.
Right.
It's wrong, John. This is no. But it's a shame nobody talked about it, you know, and it's a struggle. Anyway, I didn't do my condition. I was ready to roll, and it came out okay. In fact, I looked a little bit better than the night before, yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes when you're too dehydrated, it's not always, you know, your condition won't be 100% same. Your body changes every day.
Right. So what did you have in that aluminum case? I remember that aluminum case. What did you have in there?
Food?
So you just had all your food packed up in there, yeah.
I have an aluminum foil and baggie, you know, 8 ounces of chicken, and I have some sweet potato, I have some baggie with broccoli. I have my food with me anywhere I went, and, you know, there was no meal prep like these days. I did everything
myself. Right, right.
And, yeah, Joe was, like, very excited. And Vicky Wayne said, oh, I wonder what was in that bag, you know. He's another jealous guy.
Right.
His ass all the time.
Yeah. All right, so you get to the prejudging of the contest, and what did you think right away? You got you, Makawe, Zane, you got the new guy, Lee Haney, and then you got Bertel Fox.
Honestly, I wasn't concerned about anyone. I felt so confident, and I was mellow. I was in a good mood.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the show. I had some people, German guys, helping me backstage. And the German are perfectionists, you know. My tan, everything was right. You know, Bill Pearl was there. You know, Franco, Arnold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a little cramp from judging. Because I was too dehydrated. And I took a little potassium and aspirin. and they interact. And told me this, and since America, you know, anyhow. But I clapped a little bit, and some of the guys were happy that all the community may be out. And then Art Zeller and Franco Colombo into my room, and Franco said, "Come here, what's the matter? I fixed you." My room put his elbow at my face. He said, "Come here, you look good. You're going to win for sure."
Oh, that's great.
You said it. I know you're not a boss.
Right.
I know you're a bit dry. And then Art Zeller, he said, "Wow, you finally didn't eat, don't eat junk." I said, "Art." You know, also sometimes they blame it on the wrong reason.
right.
That they were accusing me of not training. I was like, somebody training like a madman.
Right.
So the pre-judging went well. I was confident. I'm just telling you a little bit too much.
No. I want to hear these stories.
We did the cramping act. And a lot of people think, oh, so you use a lot of that. No. It was more sad. And more sound, like I said, controlling things properly. The body works. If you listen to your body will work.
Yeah.
But don't let your body make a change over time. You need time. Let your body mellow out, do things properly, stay. And you know, I recall reading an article, and I said, my thoughts are stronger than steroids. Really is what you're thinking, you know, when you have doubt and negative thoughts, it really haunts you. It comes back to haunt you.
Yeah.
But, you know, ever since I left London in 82, I felt this laser-guided missile for Germany.
Yeah.
And then it happened.
Yeah. So
my dream, was in Lebanon. My dreams was in Lebanon. I envision myself. I close my eyes and think how Joe and Ben Reed are. You know what all does. The dream will become real, and this is what happened. But it didn't happen a year later. It happened 7 or 8 years later.
Yeah.
So it's incredible.
Yeah.
This is what I tell my kids about that. Dream it.
Yeah.
If you dream it, you will not achieve it. If you don't see it in your mind, it won't happen.
Right.
Yes. The mind and other factors. You have to put the combination. You can overtrain, can eat, can have negative thoughts. It's a combination of things.
Right.
That you need that is actually called misery.
Right.
To be the number one man on earth for that year, believe me, it's not a joke.
Right.
It's a lot. From posing to you name it.
Mm-hmm.
All pieces of the public.
Right. So after it was all over, Samir, and you won, did it take a while for it to sink in? I mean, did it take, you know.
Did you look at me? I didn't react with it. I knew. Complete judging, I won.
Yeah.
And I know some people go crazy jumping. I was happy, yes, and you know, I knew it.
Yeah.
And I felt in 82 when I left Wembley, I knew that I'm going to win in 83.
Right.
And a lot of people saw my drive. And you know, I'm very fortunate. I don't want to go back to negativity. But, you know, no matter how good you are, there's always people that are going to try to derail your drive. And so I was on perfect term. I was doing great with Joe and came to California. And, you know, I had intended to win the Olympics several times. But some of those situations that I don't want to discuss it, that actually stood in my way. It's that I was swimming, trying to. But, you know, anyway,
So, Samir, how do you feel now? I mean, it's been, what, 93, 03? So it's been 36 years since you won. And even today, when people talk about your physique on that day, they said you were just perfect. Like everything just came together. You had the perfect physique. A lot of people consider you one of the best Mr. Olympia winners ever because of your physique that year. It was just like so perfect. It was so peaked. You had everything in condition, everything in proportion. You were so ripped. So that's got to make you feel good, right? All these years later, it's been over 35 years since you won it, and people still say that.
That's very nice to hear. I appreciate that. My physique is doable now. It's really, the work ethic is so important, the mind and the combination. I know a lot of great physique out there, but they're really not doing it the way it should be, Sean. Don't do. I mean, listen, Arnold, my hero, you know that.
Yeah.
Arnold, and then these are my men that I bring them. But to work, there's a boundary. Like I said, you can do too much or you don't do enough. You can eat too much or you don't eat enough.
Mm-hmm.
All that crap. It's a combination of things. And if you give me one, like, listen, nowadays we have guys that comes in, they get, you know, that help by a guru, they give them about, I don't know how many grain of thyroid, they put them on the bike, they disappear, they get ripped, and 2 years later, they're done.
Yeah.
But if they keep it, like, the way I did it, the way Tom Platt, the way Frank Zane and Arnold, I believe that it's doable, and not only that, John. You notice that the guy that worked under Bill Proposer, and they all, listen, Boyer Cope, Chris Dickerson,
yeah,
and a lot of people, but Bill Proposer is one of the true masters of the game. And I think Bill Proposer is far and beyond Joe Ronda, in my opinion. Joe Ronda was great, but Bill Proposer, in my opinion, he is one of the greatest because he paid attention to detail, the way he poked art, you know. And I respect Bill for a lot. Probably doesn't know as much because I wasn't really a lot around Bill, even though he gave me a little bit of tips early on, very early on, before I won the universe.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going back to the topic. Is some of the kids nowadays, they go work with someone that drugs-oriented. They get ripped. They don't show them how to pose, John.
Right.
They don't show them that they have ripped our body that you cannot present it. And the body got ripped, but also, and some of those people now, they're cutting their life in half. They are. You know, bodybuilding is a performing art. It's, you know, how they judge gymnastics. There's an art and a move. And
right.
They judge you, they own in the master. So bodybuilding, which is you showing a beautiful body, and when you have some dumb little standing like this, it's how you can do this, you know, we have so many beautiful women that pose, it's a horror the way they pose.
Yeah.
Horror. Poor ladies, it's not their fault. It's the crooks, the idiots that they work with. Don't open their eyes. You know what? You gotta pull like a ballerina. You gotta show that beautiful, gorgeous body of yours, not in a sloppy way. So 90% or more, men on and women, they do it in a sloppy way. And you know it.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, just because I'm so passionate about this day, I see this repeatedly. None of those guys, the champion that is open their mouth and say it. Why don't you help your sport and tell them, you know, improve the positioning? Because really, you could do much more. The capability is 100 and they only do like 3 or 4. Why?
Yeah.
What find someone, and here I am, listen, Bill Pearl, who is almost 90 years old, and I have such a great respect up till now. Why? Because he's a master. He showed his guys how to move, how to be a true master. You look at Zane. Find me one picture of Frank Zane that looks bad.
Right.
You don't find it. And whoever, I know Jim Mannion is very passionate. I know Jim Mannion likes body. He was a champion himself. But I would love if Jimmy will crack down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Have these guys represent us on stage and look at really grateful and honored. And really, they should also find a way to be fair. I mean, when someone doesn't show that beautiful body there, you know, and there has to be some kind of way to do this as a business and keep it as a respectable sport, man, because bodybuilding is really the key for all sport, and it's that performing art duty of on men and women should be applied and should be practiced in a map, make us more like intelligent athlete, not like a bonehead.
Right.
You know, for example, necessary to talk about, but none of those big guys out there that actually won the Olympia or won major pro show talked about it. Why? Because I think you and I care about this sport much more.
Yeah.
And why not help in the kid? You know, even head judge, you should educate. The judge, you should educate it. From the side, when you stand from the side, your tricep is part of your side. And when you go like this, John, don't show the side. You look at Dickerson, you look at Frank Zane, Arnold, the way they stood from the side, and this is the pattern you should follow.
Right.
You look at Bill Burr, when he stands from the side to a tricep, and he stands in an opposite way. We need to goddammit, do it right.
Right.
Be elegant. I mean, how many times have you seen a guy who writes like kicking shit? All done elegant for you, nice and beautiful. And then why? This is part of the beauty in the bodybuilding. You build this incredible body, you gotta show it in a very pleasant, beautiful way.
Right, I agree.
Guys out there, I don't care whether it's Quinn for me or whoever, or Flex or McJay Cutler or Sean Roden or Phil Heath, they should actually really contribute in telling the guys to change weight. And me too, I should be more common. I should talk. Let's do this better. It doesn't even, they mention it once a week, once a month.
Mm-hmm.
We can do better for the sport.
Yeah.
Not see now.
Yeah.
And it's really taking it down to the state. It's killing the sport.
Yeah.
I mean, listen. Sean Ray's strength was posing as one of his strengths.
Yeah.
And Sean Ray stopped a little bit. That's okay. But nobody wants to say anything negative like that and create animosity. I won't create animosity. I want to help the sport.
Yeah.
I'm not going to particular guy.
Right.
But Sean Ray, let's do a talk about myself, Tom Flack. We should really educate the kids.
Yeah.
Even 5 minutes of your time a week.
Right.
That monkey business should be stopped because there is the monkey business. And those gurus who's helping you in nutrition, that's fine. But find someone else to buy the art. If your guru can show you your nutrition help you get rid, that's not good enough. You need someone else. I don't care how. You pay 100 or 200 or whatever, but find someone to complete your mission and compose for.
Right.
Men and women.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. That's a lost art, like you said, and that's part of bodybuilding, right?
It is a big part of body.
Yeah.
If you ask Joe Wheeler, best to be, or Bill Furman, friends, but sometimes don't want to keep talking, but you should talk about it.
Yeah.
Want sport to be better. I mean, if you see a quarterback, if you want a women's job, keep going with it. Come on. Oh my God. Somebody just showed it. I'll give you someone throw the football. And you want to throw the ball properly. There it is. You throw that women's job, you won't get shit. You won't. Things have to be done right.
Right.
We need to tell the kids, because really, the kids, it's not their fault. I'm not going to go to someone and say, you look like shit. I'm not going to say that. But somebody has to say, listen, so you can improve the opponent is not good enough. And I felt that to some of my guys. I was working with this guy. With unbelievable body, but I tried to help, but it's not enough time. Sometimes you need to work constantly and try to exchange a bad habit. They have a bad habit, and then I'm going to kind of talk them into changing their bad habit. It's not easy.
Yeah, right.
You can see, John, I'm still passionate about
it. Yeah, I love that. I love that about you, man.
But, you know, if you love bodybuilding, you love what you do.
Right.
You know.
All right. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. Thanks again to Samir Banut for his interview with us. And again, next week we'll have part two of our interview with Samir, where we'll talk about the rest of his bodybuilding career. And I also want to thank, of course, Florida Alternative Medicine and Old School Labs for sponsoring this episode. And I want to thank all our Patreon sponsors. If you are interested in helping out with the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, and you want to contribute as little as $1, $5, $10 a month, whatever you can do, whatever you want to do, just go to the bodybuildinglegendsshow.com website. And in the upper right-hand corner, we have a little link that says Patreon, and you can contribute to the show if you want. Thank you for considering that. All right, so let's read this article that appeared in the July 1984 issue of Iron Man magazine, and it was written by Gary Bartlett, and we've had Gary Bartlett on the show before. Gary is a writer and a photographer from Canada, mostly a photographer, and he was at the 1983 Mr. Olympia, and he got to meet with Samir Banut the day after the contest. So the article reads, "My interest in bodybuilding spans 18 years. I well remember how anxious I was to lay my hands on anything that might mention bodybuilding or its present champs. In those days, I lived 40 miles out in the country, and I must have been the only person who lifted weights. At high school, I was considered an oddball and thought of as real weird. However, no amount of ridicule or harassment could deter me in my efforts to build a muscular physique. I remember locking myself in my room and relaxing on my bed, dreaming of Muscle Beach and the gold days of Scott, Howarth, Yorton, Poole, and Draper. In 1965, these were the only daydreams of a 15-year-old boy. Fantasies of a vivid imagination which could never come true. For me to train and be known by these bodybuilding gods was a fantasy that even Rourke would have a hard time making come true on his Fantasy Island TV show. That was a long time ago. Now, 18 years later, I am much older and hopefully wiser, and there is one major difference. I am sitting in a hotel room over 4,000 miles away from that little place in Canada where I grew up. Munich, Germany is a town that is beautiful and full of European history. For someone to tell me that someday I would be visiting this historic city, covering the IFBB Mr. Olympia contest for several major muscle magazines, I would have told them they were smoking some new form of hallucinogenic dope. Strangely, fate works in mysterious ways, and here I am, patiently waiting for a phone call from the 1983 Mr. Olympia, Samir Banut. I've known Samir for a number of years, and I've developed a warm friendship with this potential superstar in our sport. Up until 83, Samir has taken some hard knocks in his professional bodybuilding career. It seemed that before every show he competed in, he felt he was in outstanding shape. Ironically, when it came time to drop the sweats and don his posing trunks, Samir always ended up bloated and holding cut-destroying water. In fact, so common was Samir's condition that he became somewhat of a joke around the scene because of his water retention problem. The last man that we figured would show up in London at the 1982 Mr. Olympia in shape was Samir. So imagine our shock when Samir walked on stage in London, ripped to shreds, with every drop of moisture squeezed out of his body. His symmetry and proportions have always been near perfect, and all he had to do was get ripped. Well, in London, he accomplished this, and he almost pulled off one of the biggest upsets in Olympia history by winning. Unfortunately, the judges were not ready for Samir, and they refused to see him for what he really was, an ultimate Olympia physique and ultra condition. Most of us attending this event felt that Samir could have been a popular winner, but instead he was given fourth place. There was no question that this was an unfair placing, especially considering that he was beaten by men who were not near his splendid condition. Regardless of his placing, Samir took it like a champion, and he proudly raised his finger to the audience, indicating that in 83, he would this time be number one. A year later, Samir's prediction was fact, and he easily settled all accounts by winning the Munich event with ease. Somewhere along the way, he has found the secret to peaking, and his condition in 83 was even superior to his 82 showing. As the phone rang, I immediately answered, and I was talking with Mr. Olympia. Following the event, Samir invited me to spend a day with he and his beautiful girlfriend, Tina Doss. Quickly obtaining directions and how to get to where he was staying, I packed my camera and I was off. Samir had been staying with German friend Reinhold Priegler, who owns and operates a fine bodybuilding gym in Munich. I was to meet Samir at Reinhold's gym to witness his present shoulder and arm workout. After about 25 minutes in a taxi, I finally spotted the address that Samir gave me. Making my way upstairs to Reinhold's gym was located, I was anxious to see Samir. Walking in, I was immediately impressed with the facilities and the layout of the gym. Germany's current top amateur bodybuilding champion, Erwin Noller, was standing behind the juice bar, and he informed me that Samir was not here yet, but he had just called to say that he would be right over. It seems that Erwin and Samir were training partners, and for the past 2 weeks, their training sessions were more of a war than anything. Erwin was preparing for the IFBB World Championships in Singapore. Finally, Samir arrived with his pretty girlfriend, Tina. As he extended his hand, a large smile crossed his tan face. The high of being Mr. Olympia was just settling in, and Samir was just beginning to realize that he was indeed Mr. Olympia, the best bodybuilder in the world. After an hour of discussing everything from the Olympia to posing trunks, I reminded Samir that perhaps he should work out. We had planned to take some outdoor photos in the park, and if it got too late, the light would not be suitable. Normally, Samir is very easygoing, and he told me not to worry. There would be plenty of time. Many people fail to realize the demands on an individual that has reached the status of Samir. It seems that everyone wants something, especially when you win a title like Mr. Olympia. Everyone who has ever owned a camera approaches you for photos. Gary, you would not believe how many guys have come up to me wanting to take my picture. I was even offered a great deal of money for a few of these sessions. You have to be careful with these guys. I like to let the well-known photographers photograph me. Guys like you, Balick, Nouveau, and Lund. All are famous, and I know that the photos will be put to good use. Finally, Samir and Erwin went in the back to change into their workout clothes. As Samir proceeded to warm up a bit just to get the kinks out, he was dressed in a thick blue sweat top, which made him look awesome. He was much thicker than he appeared only a couple days earlier in winning the Olympia. In watching Samir train, I found that while doing a set, he puts everything into it. The rumors that the guys in California don't train that hard or heavy don't apply to Samir's case. The weights he used when working his shoulders and arms were very heavy. In the seated behind-the-neck press on the Universal machine, he used well over 220 pounds. His last reps were forced to the point of extreme exhaustion. I like to really push hard, especially before the Olympia. This year, I was 25% better, and I feel that Erwin helped me a lot to achieve this in the last few weeks. He would not let up on me until I'd given everything I had to each exercise. When I train, I concentrate on nothing but the muscle being worked, so I never count reps. I just do the set until the muscle aches with pain. I usually like to do 3 to 4 exercises for each body part for about 4 sets, depending on what I feel needs to be worked. The larger muscles, such as the back and the chest, can handle more sets and perhaps an extra movement. In preparing for the Olympia, I really got into my training the last 8 weeks, although I worked hard all year improving my weak areas. Most of us who know a physique can confirm that, in fact, Samir has no weaknesses. One of the most common misconceptions about a champion physique is that many champs have no strict schedule of exercises, sets, reps, and poundages that they follow every workout. A lot of us train on instinct and know our bodies inside out. So using this feeling, we can do a little extra here and a little less there. It depends on the individual. Routines are changed often and followed for only short periods of time, depending on what you want at the time. I commented on Samir's arm workout where he did a tremendous amount of cable movements for both the biceps and the triceps. Yes, this is the main part of my arm workout. Cable exercises tend to cause continuous tension in the muscle, which helps to shape it and bring out all the striations. You must remember that all year I've been doing the basic movements for the area, and the last phase is to carve in those Olympia winning cuts. Samir's workout lasted about 1 hour to 1.5 hours. He bombed the biceps with such exercises as machine Scott curls, one-arm concentration curls, while the triceps were attacked with lat machine pushdowns and various forms of one-arm cable extensions. Upon completion, his entire shoulder and arm area were swollen like giant balloons. I noticed that while performing a set, Samir was extremely serious and aggressive, but as soon as the set was complete, he relaxed, talked, and joked around. Often he would hit a tremendous pose which shocked everyone in the gym. I must say that it was a treat to watch Samir work out. It would be even more fun to photograph him outside in the park. The day was fast slipping by, so Samir, Reinhold, Tina, Irwin, and several other of his German friends directed us to the park for a rush photo session where we all had a great time. It was amazing to see the looks on people's faces as this perfectly developed human proceeded to go through his posing routine. Perhaps the best part of the entire day for me was the friendship that developed between me, Samir, and Tina. I mean, here we were on opposite ends of the world in a country foreign to all of us, and yet through bodybuilding, the bond of friendship was sealed. The day was long and we were all tired, but Samir and Tina could not let me leave without having supper with them. The strain and torture that Samir had to go through for the past few months was sheer hell, and many people didn't realize just what happens to the body during this period. Even more severe is the effect that the inhuman training and dieting has on the mind. The emotions run on a treadmill, first up, then down. Energy is at a miserable all-time low, not counting the apprehension of trying to get through another exhausting workout. No, most people can't understand why one of their favorite champions tends to give them the brush off when confronted with the endless questions of, what do you do for your arms? I, for one, appreciate Samir spending the day with me training and posing when he must have been completely fed up with the whole thing. I'm sure he would have rather been in an ice cream parlor and then onto the bed for a well-deserved sleep. No, the evening was finished with me in a German restaurant discussing bodybuilding and dieting. Even upon winning the Olympia, Samir still had to watch his diet, especially the sodium. He was scheduled to guest pose in Tina's homeland of Sweden the next evening. Regardless, Samir was recognized in the restaurant by several customers from his photo in the local paper reporting his Olympia win. It's about time that a bodybuilding champion is given his just reward of being a celebrity by Mr. Joe Average. As I slowly opened the door to my taxi, I hugged Tina and I firmly shook Samir's hand in a true gesture of friendship. Thanks, Samir and Tina, for the great day and a wonderful meal. All right. That was a great article by Gary Bartlett about Samir's big win at the Olympia. And it had to be a great experience seeing Samir at that time. And Samir had to be on top of the world for a contest that he wanted to win so badly, and he knew he could win, and he finally did it. And I told Samir in our interview, I think next week, that no matter what the rest of his career was like, he did achieve his goal of winning Mr. Olympia, and he'll go down in history as one of the greatest bodybuilders ever because he achieved that with his fantastic physique. All right, so that is it for this episode of the Bodybuilding Legends Podcast. Wish me luck on my surgery, and we will see you guys next week. Thanks again to Old School Labs at Florida Alternative Medicine and all our Patreon sponsors for helping to sponsor the Bodybuilding Legends Podcast. All right, we'll see you guys next week. Have a great week, everybody. Take care.